The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this. Well, what is it? It's the 20th day. Wow, tomorrow. In fact, when this radio program is over with, we're going to be in the first day of summer. And, wow, time is just passing by so fast. I mean, really passing by fast. Now, tonight we have none other than Courageous Craig at the helm on the board.
Good evening, everybody.
And way out yonder in Missouri, we have my old friend, my old timer, Pastor Joe Larson.
You get done with your introduction, I feel like Ancient of Days, but pleasure to be here anyway.
All righty. We want to say this, Joe, that we want to give our most sincere condolences to the friends and family of Lonnie Ritchie, Sr. Lonnie was put to rest on Saturday, and his wife was Annette. He went home to be with his wife, Annette, his brother, Melvin Ritchie, and his sister, Daisy Ritchie. They have all gone home to be with the Lord. Now, Lonnie was 90 years old, he left to celebrate and cherish his memory with his daughter, Debbie, and his sons, Lonnie Jr. and Louis J. Rose. And so, Lonnie, there were so many people came up. He was a very well-liked man. And he worked for the Cleveland Water Company for Water Department for 53 years. And Lonnie was a senior manager over there at the city. And all of the eulogies, people came up to talk about how Lonnie had helped them when they needed help. When they needed counseling, when they did, he was always there, always putting other people before himself. And, again, he was one of those fellows that, again, that was always out there and always helping others. And so Lonnie was not a churchgoer for the most part, but everyone said that he lived his life as a Christian. By the way, he was out there being the Good Samaritan all the time. So again, it's a big loss for the family, but heaven's gain. And again, we say our most sincere condolences to the Ritchie family. Joe, I want to say that the 2,000 mules are in. You folks out there have been waiting and waiting and waiting. And don't worry, we're already going after another order of them because they're going out. And this is the time for you, please, when you get your 2,000, they'll be being shipped out to you tomorrow. Please show them to people. Show them in libraries. Let me tell you, the fake news media, what they call the mainstream, they do not want you to be showing that film. They do not want you. The rhinos don't want you to show that film, okay? None of the communists, like we've been telling you, exactly what we've been telling you, you'll see in that film. Now, also, Lord's willing, at the top of the next hour, Joe, we're going to be playing a clip of General McInerney. Joe, everything that we've been telling people here about what the communist collective is doing, General McInerney, who's been around for a long time, he verifies everything we've said. He verifies. And so we'll be, Lord's willing, we'll be playing that clip. Now, after saying all that, Joe, you know what happens every single time that we announce these things, that we're going to be bringing people what the enemy, what the deep state, what Satan's children don't want to hear. Every time that happens, like what happened to me last night, right here last night, because of the Bible study, again, the devil's in the equipment. It'll play all day long without having a glitch until we come on. And it's no coincidence, Joe.
It's happened dozens and dozens of times, and it's always this program that it happens to.
That's what I hear from all the stations out there. It only happens when you guys are on. So anyhow, let's just say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, Lord, we just would ask that you would come against those that are coming against us tonight. Come against the prince of the power of the airwaves, Lord, when they come to try to shut us down, Lord, we would ask you that you would shut them down. Be our, Lord, be our defender, Lord. We ask this so we can bring your message to the hearts and minds of the people tonight. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Joe, you know, it may just be that God allows it so people can understand how much they would like to have us off. The old saying in the military, when you're taking flak, you know you're over the target.
Yeah, I know, but boy, it's hard to do a program when you keep getting shut down.
It is, so, but the people then will maybe appreciate just how important this is to the enemy to get rid of us, which makes it how important it is to the Lord that we keep doing his work.
Amen. Speaking of that, folks, please pray that the God sends us a miracle. We don't have to go off those stations that are already scheduled to go off, those three stations that we were talking about, San Diego, Tampa, and Atlanta. Let's just pray for a miracle on that. But now, Joe, let's get into our scripture tonight. The title was The Fatherhood of God and Man, and let's pick it up in Malachi chapter 2, and we'll read verses 10, Joe, through 17. And
right.
here, this first passage is about the fatherhood of all humanity, the fatherhood of all humanity. Go ahead.
All right. Verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receive it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant? And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garments, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?
Okay, so Job, going all the way back to 430 B.C., Malachi knew that we were created, and that we were created in the image of God, and that God was the natural born father of all humanity. And so there wasn't any question about this thing called evolution, was there?
No.
But now here, Judah have been dealt treacherously, and abomination is committed in Israel. So what happens? The opposition, the heathen tribes, the Philistines and all of these, they sent their women in to seduce the Israeli men. They sent their young women in to go in there.
The Jews married the women that were members of, who followed a strange God.
Right. And for that reason, God, when he said he cut them off, when you got cut off, that means you became room temperature.
Yeah.
And so he was making a point very clear there. But then he goes on, Joe, and he's talking about, not only have you done that, you're bringing in these young, pretty heathen women who worship another god, you're being seduced by these women, but then, on top of that, they were not treating the brides of their youth very well. In other words, their wives that have gotten a little older.
Women, right?
Yeah. Well, what happened, Joe? You know, when Moses gave them the in the book, he allowed them to write a paper of divorcement. But these guys abused that. They abused it. And they would, you know, they would divorce their wives for any reason. In fact, they would even, at times where you would have the times of planting and plowing, they would actually exchange one of their wives for a team of oxen. And after the plowing was over, they would trade back and get their wife back. So they put them on the same, you know, it's like trading mules for oxen. Now,
yeah, they were treating them like property, like cattle.
Right. So here God says that their tears were falling on his altar. He says here, yet you say, wherefore, because the Lord hath witnessed between thee and thy wife thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant, and did not make one, yet he had the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that they might seek godly seed. Therefore, take heed to spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth, for the Lord God of Israel hath said he hath put in a way. Well, if you go back where it said that their tears, were upon his offering, okay? Now, here, so he tells these guys this, and you know what these knuckleheads did? They're telling God, no, he's got them all wrong. You've got us all wrong, God, right? He says, it's a, Where have we wearied thee, Lord? Where have we done that? I mean, you know, you got us all wrong. Is it a smart thing to tell God that he doesn't know what he's talking about?
No, it isn't, because back marriage was a covenant, actually a covenant with God, where two become as one. The two are supposed to become one unit, to work together as one unit and not to be separated. The whole idea was eternal, you know, like he and his church. It was the idea, it's a covenant and it's not to be broken. So they were just playing games with one of the most sacred things that God had made, one of the first and most sacred, marriage. And then they go, well, you know, this is good that we cashed in an old wife for a young heathen. And, yeah, they were trying to justify their sin, and it never works.
Well, so then when God calls them on it, listen, if God calls you to repent of something, are you to stand up and argue with him whether or not you're guilty, or you should?
I don't think that's a very good idea.
Not, that's not smart, is it?
Especially when you're sinning, because there's no way you can... he's the ultimate judge of the universe. There's no retrial. There's no appeal court. You know, you're...
So who's going to win that argument?
God is.
Has he ever lost one?
It's worse that you argue.
Has God ever lost an argument?
No, he just pronounces judgment. You can sit there and talk all day. He doesn't care. He pronounces judgment, and it's done.
Now listen to this, Joe. Listen to this. When you say everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or whether, where is the God of judgment? So they're telling God, look, we're hip. We're woke. We get it. We get it. We understand that, that you're saying blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are the poor for, you know, there in heaven. The, those that have it the worst here, like Lazarus and the rich man, they'll have it the best. We get it. We get it, Lord. But we see what you're doing. You're saying that, but then we look around and we see the evil people are prospering. You're blessing the evil people. They have all the money. They have all the power. They have all the pleasure. So we get it. You're saying one thing, but you're doing another. You know, that's what Democrats
like
do, Joe.
Like
Joe Biden. Okay, now.
Democrats do. They say one thing and do the opposite, yeah.
Is that a smart thing to say to God?
No, it's foolish. Totally, totally foolish.
Joe, turn over to Malachi chapter 1 and,
right.
And listen to what the God has to say about that now. He says this.
What verse?
Let me see here. Let me find it. I'm trying to remember. Let's go to chapter 2. Okay, chapter 2, and read me verses 1 through 4.
And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts.
Okay, so Joe... You know, in chapter 2, he was talking about his, where he says, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, and the master of the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, him that an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And so he's talking about, he doesn't regard his offerings, that he doesn't want their offering, okay? He's not going to receive it with goodwill at their hands. Now, here, Joe, when they would go to the temple, and they would bring their animals. Now, there was a gate, and they would have to wait outside a gate. Now, Joe, you've had a farm, and you know what happens when cattle and what they do after they've eaten, right, outside
right.
that gate. This is where dung comes from.
Yes.
Okay, now, he's telling them that he's going to spread dung upon their face. Listen, and I, behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts. He's talking about specifically those animals that they brought there to be sacrificed. And he's telling them that they are going to be face down and room temperature in that dung out there because they have disrespected and disobeyed him, okay? And so here's these guys, after God has told them that, Joe, after God has told them that, they're telling God he's got them all wrong. God, you got us all wrong. Not a smart thing, is it?
In courts, when they've had that, some of that court TV, they get up and they're, you know, lying to the judge. Oh, I, you know, or the police, I didn't do that. I wasn't anywhere near. Well, how come your car was there? How come your fingerprints are there? How come your blood was there? Oh, I don't know how it got there, you know, that kind of thing. They're just being stupid.
Yep. Let's go to Jeremiah 31. And in Jeremiah chapter 31... Joe, read me verses 8 through 10.
Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water, in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn.
Okay, so when he's, first of all, he's talking about, and
oh,
with supplication. Go ahead.
Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattereth Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock.
Okay, so now, Joe, here, when he's talking about supplications, what are supplications? It's praying, it's prayers,
praying.
It's prayers.
Prayer, okay, pleadings now, and prayer.
Right, now, here, and then he, when he talks about on a straight way, it means he's going to keep him on a level path, Joe, it's a level path. Now, here, has this happened partially? Do we see this, the types and shadows? Has he been, because in his, he's showing you that God is the family of true Israel. And, of course, we know true Israel, you're referring to about one-third, according to the Lord Jesus. One-third of those that are professing professing they may be the seed of Abraham, but they're not the sons
of Abraham. Right.
So they mean they're physically, but
like
not
the father.
You're not spiritually right. They're not spiritually the sons. Instead of God being their spiritual father, two thirds the devil's their spiritual father. Now, here he goes on, and in this passage he says that he is going to be their protector, he's going to be their provider, he's going to be their comforter and their redeemer. Now, when does that take place in its fullness, when all of these things take place in the fullness?
After the tribulation, when Israel is redeemed.
That's right, during that millennial kingdom, huh?
Kingdom.
Okay, so very good. Well, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away.
Carry me home. Well, if you get there before before I do. Come for to carry me home. Tell all my friends that I'm coming to. Come for to carry me home. Sing low, sweet chariot. Come for to carry me home. Sing low, sweet chariot. Come for to carry me. Coming for to carry me. Coming for to carry me.
Alrighty, Joe, I forgot all about that song. I forgot ever making that song. That was Esty Chrisman with that beautiful voice, and I accompanied her.
I was just going to say, if you want to sound good, sing with an angel.
Well, she's in heaven's choir now. She went home to be with the Lord.
Yes.
She was a dear, dear friend. And anyhow, I forgot all about that song. And what happened was last night, when we were trying to do the Bible study, of course, the devil got after us again tried to bring us down. But so they had to play that song until we could get back online. And he popped that song up out of no place. And I forgot all about it ever existing.
The Lord works in mysterious ways. Why didn't you find that song?
Yeah, we got almost 400 songs altogether in all of these things. Between myself and Carl and a number of the other people, Esty and Danny Ray and a whole bunch of the folks. But anyhow, we got a lot to talk about tonight, a whole lot. And again, I wanted to remind the folks that with the 2,000 meals come in, we're already going to go ahead with another big order because it's taking. And we were concerned because, believe me, the opposition does not want... They do not want those videos out there. People are finding out what they don't want them to know, huh? And so,
they certainly don't.
Hey, Joe, guess what happened in Texas? Texas GOP passes resolution declaring the Biden not legitimately elected. Who would have ever thought, huh?
They came out, just... bold as could be, bold as lions, and told the truth.
Oh, boy, what if, they got to be saying the Democrats, oh, my gosh, what if the truth gets out? What if the truth gets out? Well, that's why we're here. That's exactly the reason we're here, is to get that truth out. Texas Republicans passed a resolution on the 18th of June stating that President Joe Biden was not legitimately elected and that substantial election fraud in key metropolitan areas influenced the result of the 2020 presidential election in favor of Biden. Well, who would have thought, huh? Now, he goes on to say, we believe that the 2020 election violated Article 1 and Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. You hear that, Mike Pence? That various secretaries of state illegally circumvented their state legislators in conducting their elections in multiple ways, including by allowing ballots to be received after November 3rd.
Right.
Stated a resolution passed on Saturday, the last day of the three-day biennial Texas GOP convention held in Houston, and Texas, the Texas Tribune reported. We believe that substantial election fraud is key. Metropolitan areas significantly affected the results in five key states in favor of Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. The resolution continued. We reject the certified results of the 2020 presidential election, and we hold the acting president, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., was not legitimately elected by the people of the United States, it added. The state GOP, the largest in the nation, passed a resolution after delegates sat through Thursday's screening of the 2,000 Mules, a documentary directed by conservative author and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza. Now, what if, Joe, what if the state legislators in these other states get smart enough? What if the state legislators in the state of Ohio, the state of Missouri, the state of California, and all these other states, what if they get smart enough to sit through and watch 2,000 Mule documentary directed by Dinesh D'Souza? The movie features the undercover investigation work of David and Laura, citizen investigator and Arizona State Senator candidate Gary Snyder, as well as investigations conducted by election integrity organization True to Vote on an alleged coordinated ballot trafficking operation during the 2020 election. And so described as an expose of widespread coordinated voter fraud in the 2020 election, the movie draws on cell phone location data paired with video surveillance footage that allegedly showed a cohort of people dropping ballots off drop boxes situated outdoors, an average more than 20 times each. Those were dubbed by investigators as the 2,000 Mules. So just as we told you, that was as illegitimate, as corrupt, and fraudulent an election as there ever been. And anyone and everyone who says that's not true, are a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in them, and none of them will have the guts to come and sit across from me at this, right here in this studio, and debate me on it. Not one of you will.
Well, we know because we did the story too that what $420 million of Zucker bucks that was handed out to almost every leftist election official and group, and they went out there to just get out the vote for one party, put one party people in control. Did a lot of things that were not they violated state constitutions, state election laws. And that alone, they said, was enough to have swung the election from to Biden. And so we know there were at least three major things. And then the media, with its constant, you know, hatred of Trump and keeping the truth about Hunter Biden, the laptop secret, that probably was enough from what we hear. A lot of people, the polls say that, a lot of people said if they knew, they wouldn't have voted for Biden if they'd heard about the laptop. So we've got three areas, the voter fraud, the Zucker bucks, and then the media's lies of deception. We've got three reasons the election was false.
Well, there's another one.
Stolen.
You've got a film footage of them going into the nursing homes and intimidating the elderly. Telling them, here, you got to sign this ballot here. And when they said, no, we don't.
Intimidated. They were just, no, they just got old people to sign something.
No, some of them said we did not want to sign. They gave a testimony saying, no, we didn't. We told them we didn't want to do that. And they told us we had to. And
right.
And so
some of the old people, they took advantage of some of the senile people that they, you know, just scribbled a name and they walked off with signatures from people that had no idea what they were doing, couldn't complain because they didn't remember what they did.
Absolutely.
That is just, to me, just totally crooked. You know, both things, taking advantage of the elderly. That's like, you know, beating up on children.
All righty, here. To restore the American Constitutional Republic, the American oligarchy must be overthrown. It's an article by Joe Hoft. And Joe says, there are but two parties now, traitors and patriots. And that's exactly right, traitors and patriots. Those are the two parties. And you have the rhinos are in the traitors. He goes on, continue to vote. But do not expect the predicted electoral red wave of congressional Republicans to change the status quo in Washington, D.C. The Republican Party, led by Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell and Republican House Leader Kevin McCarthy, remains tightly in the grip of the oligarchy, which is the 1993 Lewis Lapham described as the 2% of the population who own the media and the banks, manage the government, operate the universities, print the money, write the laws, and every 4 years they hire a president. The Republicans and the Democrats are presently constituted do not want the United States to function as a constitutional republic accountable to the people because it enhances their ability to accrue personal power and profit for themselves and their financial backers. From a governance perspective, the American oligarchy is a philosophically in line with the globalists of the World Economic Forum and the leaders of the Chinese Communist Party. Boy, that's right. That hits the nail right on the head, Joe.
Exactly. Well, we've been saying for 30 years that I can remember, you know, they're selling out America for ill-gotten gain, for the love of money. They're selling their country out. They're selling their own children, grandchildren out. They may have them protected right now, but down the road they won't be, because we always know what happens. The revolutions always end in violence, and a lot of the useful idiots get eliminated because they get in the way of the true revolutionaries.
Yep. They all want a global order composed of lords and serfs where there are no sovereign nations, just land and people to exploit. Yeah. Call it communism, globalism, or as I like to say, neo-feudalism. In practice, there are distinctions without differences. All authoritarian, which individual rights are not inalienable, bestowed by the Creator, but temporary indulgence granted by the otherwise oppressive de facto one-party state. State simply as oligarchy is incompatible with a functioning constitutional republic. They're mutually exclusive.
Oh, right there. You said our constitutional republic. The left always screams they're going to ruin our democracy. Well, we've never been a democracy. They want us to be, because a democracy is the emotional will of the people. It's a where a republic is a based on rule of laws that do not change. In other words, God's Ten Commandments are those laws that cannot change. And a republic is based on that rule of law. And then we have this democratic form of government within the boundaries of the republic. And this stuff, we're going to lose our democracy. Well, I hope we do, because democracies never last long. They usually end up in a violent overthrow, and they end very, very badly. Every democracy in history has ended very badly.
All right, Joe, here's one that I know that you're grinding at the bit to get a hold of. Is driving an electric car immoral? Here's what they don't tell you. Go for it.
All right. This story, folks, we have done bits and pieces of this story in the past. And what it is, Powerline blogger John Hinderdrake and a energy expert and engineer, Ronald Stein, looked at the source of power. And their conclusion, and we've told you this before, EVs are bad for the environment. Why? Well, we go back to the batteries that power this lithium battery. Each mine that produces lithium, think about this now, they are destroying entire mountains, are eliminated by one lithium supply mine. Each mine usually consists of 35 to 40 humongous 9 or 797 Caterpillar haul trucks, along with hundreds of other large earth-moving equipment. Each 797 uses 500,000 gallons of diesel a year, so just one mine with 35 of these trucks uses 17.5 million gallons of diesel, and that's just for one lithium site. And this typical electric vehicle battery weighs about 1,000 pounds, 25 pounds of lithium, 60 pounds of nickel, 44 pounds of manganese, 30 pounds of cobalt, 200 pounds of copper, 400 pounds of aluminum, steel, and plastic. And there are 6,000 little lithium ion cells inside. And all of these things come from mining. And we know one of the things that over in Africa, the cobalt mines are, we've told you this story, in the Congo, the United Nations Fund has talked about they use about 40,000 children are working in cobalt mines. so that you can have a battery for your electric vehicle. And what these engineers came up with, for instance, to manufacture each electric vehicle battery, you must process 25,000 pounds of brine for the lithium, 30,000 pounds of ore for cobalt, 5,000 pounds of ore for nickel, 25,000 pounds of ore for copper, and all told, you dig up 500,000 pounds of the Earth's crust for every battery. Now think about every car in Europe, every car in America, every car in China, every car in the world, and we've told you before, several engineers have looked and said, there's not enough of these rare earth things to make all the batteries that they want for all those electric vehicles. And to get that, to get one battery, 500,000 pounds of earth, we would destroy the earth, the environment, to have the electric vehicles that they claim will save the planet. Talk about a lie from the pit of hell, folks. It is impossible. What they want to do is not going to work the way they're presently planning on it. And, oh, by the way, all these electric vehicles in reality run on fossil fuel and nuclear power. Why? Well, what produces the electricity? Primarily coal, uranium, natural gas. Very little wind and sun. So basically, you know, we are having to use the same energy sources, you know, fossil fuels to make the electricity to run the cars. And then remember, those batteries only last a few years. And we told you in one other story, oh, this one guy took his car in, they said, you have to have a new battery. And the battery and the replacement ran $20,000. And the car was only a few years old. So there you have it. We can slave labor in China's producing most of their rare earth. We've got the little children in Africa working the cobalt mines. And, oh, by the way, all of China's solar panels that they're building for the world are produced with coal fire plants, power plants, and China is building one coal-fired power plant a month, or was it a week? They're making 52 this year, 52, to produce all the solar panels and stuff that they're going to sell to us. I mean, this has got to be insanity, Pastor Ernie.
No, it's not. I'll tell you what it is. It will... It's evil. Criminal. It's criminal insanity, Joe. But if you want to call that, it would be. But we're going to tell you at the top of the hour, we're going to have General McInerney on there. And he's going to tell you exactly what we've been telling you. They're doing this on purpose. This is not, look, Joe, here, the major baby formula plant forced to shut down less than 2 weeks after reopening. In other words, they're making a shortage. Remember what Janet Yellen said? Remember what she said, the great, here on our economy, the Fed? Well, she said, look, abortion is good for the economy. If you're pregnant, kill it. If you're pregnant, kill it and go back to work.
To work. Well, guess what? That, she also said, Janet Yellen came out just the other day, the only way to fix our energy crisis is to move to renewable energy. Oh, we're going to destroy the earth to get our renewable energy. This, she said Sunday, the Biden administration policies are not responsible for the high gas prices, and the only way to fix our crisis is to move and move swiftly to renewables to address the horrible, horrible threat of climate change.
Joe, some years ago we had one of the largest firms of geologists in the world. We had them on the radio program. In fact, we did kind of a regular, about once a month, we would have them on, talk about things in the environment when it comes to creation versus evolution. And and they said this, Now, here you had 14 of the top geologists in the country, and they were in total agreement. They were in total agreement.
And they didn't work for the government, did they?
Right. They didn't work for the government. And here's what they said. They said the earth is reproducing oil. The earth produces oil. Okay, right. They didn't tell you that a long time ago a whole bunch of dinosaurs panicked when the earth was hit with a meteorite and caused the ice age. So all these dinosaurs, they went running someplace, and one of them stumbled and fell, and all of the others fell on top of them, and they died and rotted, and that produced oil. No, they didn't say that at all. Here's what they said. They said that the earth is producing oil. It's in the minerals in the earth. And so, Joe, let me ask you this.
Well,
if the earth, Joe, if the earth is producing oil, is that not a renewable source?
Exactly, because what oil actually comes from, those engineers reminded us, was that it comes from methane gas deep below the earth's surface, and it's a process of pressure and heat on the methane gas that produces the what we call crude oil. And you're right, how they found out, they had all these depleted oil wells, started filling back up and refilling, and some of them came back almost full, and it's when it dawned on them, we better try to figure out why these old dry wells are refilling. And there
That's
you
right.
have the truth. And they don't tell that. It is a renewable source because it comes from methane gas, and under Earth's surface there is an huge, I can't remember the figure, quantity of this methane gas that will last a lot longer than we're going to be here, folks.
At present use, we have like a 200-year supply.
Yeah.
And Joe, the United States of America is sitting on the world's largest source of oil, crude oil.
Exactly.
Now,
hey,
Joe, let me ask you.
When they used to talk about peak oil, you and I were around, we're old timers, and another 10 years, we're hitting peak oil, where from now on it's going to go downhill. And I think I remember about four or five times they did the peak oil thing. And now, the latest data, like you said, we've got over 200 years taking it out of the ground as fast as we can, we'd have 200 years of it.
Joe, I remember, let me say this first. You know what coal is, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what you get in your stocking when you're bad at Christmas.
Well, you know, did you know that Superman could take a chunk of coal and squeeze it so hard it'll turn into a diamond?
Yes, I did, and that's how they make artificial diamonds.
I saw that right there on the Superman program, and so there. You know, maybe you shouldn't believe everything you see on television, huh? But
probably shouldn't. But they do make artificial diamonds by putting coal under pressure. Yes.
Well, let me ask you this: Do you think that the Earth is still reproducing coal even as we speak?
Yes. In some places.
Yeah, see, God hasn't changed that, hasn't he?
No.
The earth is still doing exactly the way God programmed it to do, right?
Exactly.
So right now, as we're here speaking, the earth is producing coal. And
you mean
means?
The far left is not in charge of taking care of the earth?
Hillary said she's going to make him stop.
Doing all this for us?
Hillary said she's going to make them stop doing that. You forget it. She told the coal miners in West Virginia that she was taking control of that, and there wasn't going to be any more coal being used. No.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of like Biden when he made promises when he was running for president that he was going to shut down all fossil fuel. He was going to make a promise, you know, I will stop all fossil fuel in this country, and he's working on it. Working hard, isn't he?
Do you think he knows to what extent how he is hated by the people, or do you think he is only surrounded? He's so surrounded by just those in the D.C., the District of Crime, that he's not aware. He's not aware of how angry the people in this country are at him.
I sometimes wonder if he isn't kept in a bubble. I don't think he realizes quite how he's hated, because that one guy said was talking to him and said, "Let's go, Brandon." And he and his wife went, "Yeah, let's go, Brandon." They had no idea what was going on. They were out of it.
Yeah. Anyhow, you see those bumper stickers all over the car out there. And
I think they keep him pretty well isolated from the world, to be honest with you.
Well, you're absolutely right. No. Here's a question. Why did the IRS just purchase $700,000 worth of ammo? Why would the IRS... By the way, they're not actually a government agency. They're not a government. They're actually a collection agency for the Federal Reserve, aren't they?
But I think they're under the federal government's chain or chart. But yeah, they're not a enforcement agency. Remember back, we were kept telling people, look what Bill Clinton's doing, or not Bill Clinton, look what Obama's doing. He was arming people, giving guns to people in the Department of Transportation, Department of Education, giving federal gun permits. He was building his own private army. Well, gee, why would the IRS have to have bullets? It means they have guns, or they wouldn't need bullets. So he's already armed them.
And who?
Army.
Who, Joe, are they armed to protect themselves from?
Us.
That's right.
Patriots.
So they look upon
the
us.
The owners of the country, actually.
The patriots as the people, the true America, as the enemies of the this corrupt, and I mean illegitimate, and so corrupt and so illegitimate government, huh?
Exactly.
And so, Joe, like what we just heard, and what you're going to hear General McAnally say, but let me just read you something here. This, you've heard about this. This is called the Declaration of the 13 States, or the another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the law of nature and nature's God entitled them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. And so we're required, first by God's word, the Bible, and then by the Declaration of Independence, to sever all ties with this corrupt, illegitimate government, aren't we?
Yeah, that's if we cannot retain control of it. That's exactly what it says. Because remember, our Declaration of Independence,
we'll be back
covenant
right
with God
after this with more. Okay, no, we're back. Okay, you said, I thought you said 10. All right, yeah, we are coming up to a break now. Folks, this is General McAnally, and listen to what he says. And have you not heard Pastor Joe and myself say this for many years? Be right back.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.